Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest today is House Republican leader Vin Candelora, and we're going to be talking about the resignation coming up on October 10th of Public Utilities Regulatory Authority Chairwoman Marissa Gillette, who announced that resignation very recently. Good morning, Representative. Welcome to the show. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Give us a timeline of what's happened in the last, really, 2 years we've been talking about this that's led to this particular moment, her announcement that she is planning to resign as chairwoman.
Yeah, I sort of think that it was the perfect storm of a lot of different issues colliding. First and foremost, for individuals or people being upset over their electric bills and realizing the public benefits charge on their bills is sort of caused by government action. And so to some degree, the attention got turned to Marissa Gillette and her decision-making that caused some of those increases, you know, fair or not fair. But I think what we have seen over time, there were some policy changes in Hartford, some laws that were changed that really expanded, I think, the power of PURA. And there were significant growing pains coming out of that. And some of the stuff that was in the legislation, I think, led to sort of a very troubled and tense relationship between our regulatory body and our utility companies. And I think politically, including Governor Lamont, they like to make our utility companies the whipping boy and the bad guy. And so everybody likes to rail against them. And I think over time, fatigue set in and people realized that rates aren't going down. So blaming utility companies isn't accomplishing anything. But ultimately, what happened for our chairwoman is, you know, during this back and forth between blaming utility companies and the regulators, there was just some activity that she conducted. In particular, there was allegations that she wrote an op-ed piece criticizing utility companies, saying that they were, you know, working in collusion with the rating agencies down in on Wall Street to lower their downgrade their ratings. And the significance of that is that our PURA chair people are supposed to serve as arbiters on cases. They're sort of akin to judges. And the utility companies alleged that she was biased against them. And so we had a long protracted series of FOIs. We had complaints. There was some accusations, and it was uncovered that, you know, Chairwoman Gillette appointed all the cases to herself. So the PURA Commission is supposed to be made up of five individuals. The governor has refused to appoint two, so they've only been operating with a staff of three. And in that time, Chairwoman Gillette assigned all the cases to herself, so she was chairing all of the cases. And I think other commissioners were complaining. Certainly they complained to me about it. So there was just a lot of people unhappy with her on all fronts. For me, when I was told by a couple of commissioners that they had difficulty even getting staff to help them answer questions and evaluate decisions, I confronted her with that during her nomination hearing through exec noms, because all the commissioners serve equally. Just because she's the chairwoman doesn't mean she has extra power per se they all could be presiding officers. They're all entitled to the staff access. And she was sort of limiting that access. When I questioned her, she denied that. And subsequently, a year later now from our interrogation under oath, the courts have uncovered some documents that indicated that she did restrict access to staff, change the protocols. So that led me to send a letter to the Speaker of the House to inquire about an impeachment hearing, because I believe she wasn't exactly truthful to our committee. A day later, after I sent that letter, she resigned from her position, effective next month. I think, you know, I don't relish in that at all. I was really concerned about the institution, and I think it deserved vetting. I think we have a situation where the cover-up was much worse than the potential crime. And the problem that we have as a state right now is we have a governor that has failed to fulfill all the positions in Pura. And now with her resignation, they don't have a quorum to even act on any of these rate cases. So, you know, the governor is going to have his work cut out for him. He's left two positions vacant for 6 years. And he needs to fill those positions because the commission is almost defunct.
So what do you think is the catalyst here for her announcement that she's resigning, right? It seems like, as you mentioned, the perfect storm, because there's a lot going on here. She said that it took a real emotional toll on her personally, as well as her family and her team at Pura. But the question here is, where did that come from? Is it the impeachment inquiry that you had requested that you were looking for? Is it Governor Lamont who pressured her? He said no, but he might be considering whether to run again for another term as governor. You know, it would seem kind of sudden because she was just reappointed as chair earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right. And I do think it could be any of those things, and I'm not privy to any knowledge of it being otherwise, but certainly there was a fatigue factor. I mean, she was sort of doing battle with our utility companies, at times with the legislature. And I think that process would take a toll. But you know, I think for me, where it was going, and if that impeachment inquiry was opened, I think it would have been a huge distraction on Pura and would continue to sort of cripple that agency. So, you know, I suspect the governor, it was probably a little bit mutual that the governor said, you know, we can't go through this, because if an inquiry is called, I think you would almost get bipartisan support if the facts came out. And so it puts you in a whole different arena, you know, versus sort of defending a lawsuit from the utility companies. So, you know, I think, you know, that was probably the driver for her.
To the best of your knowledge, that lawsuit will be continuing, correct?
Yeah, it's a lawsuit that's, you know, claiming she was biased. So all the decisions that she rendered, I think they sort of want a do-over. So I think the fact that she's resigned does not eliminate those lawsuits, and I think they will continue. You know, and I do think the governor really didn't do her any favors, because he used to say, I don't want to appoint the other two commissioners because I don't want to dilute her power. He really supported her. He felt she was smart. He sort of wanted all the power to lie in one individual. And fundamentally, that's a problem because the board isn't set up that way. It was set up to be a panel of five, where all five individuals are making decisions on cases, not just one individual acting. And I think that sort of rift, and I had many conversations with the governor that if you want to change the structure, then put a bill in to change the structure. But what he wanted and what the law says are two different things. And so I don't think he helped this situation at all.
I'm speaking with the State House Republican leader, Vin Candelora. Happy to have him on Face Connecticut to talk about Marissa Gillette resigning from Pura as their chairwoman. I guess the next question is, where does this go from here, right? Because you have the governor who is still, to this point, backed Gillette and said that he's sad to see her go. Yet there are these lawsuits. There are residents who are unhappy with their electric bills being too high, not clear exactly how they're going to be lowered. What exactly happens next?
Yeah, I think what the governor really needs to do is he needs to appoint four commissioners onto PURA. You know, Gillette's resignation brings the board down to one person that he has appointed. We have Michael Caron that serves right now in an expired term, and he's serving at the will of the governor, which isn't good either. So, you know, he should reappoint Mike Caron, and he should appoint three more members to that board to get them fully complemented. One of the things we did this session, because the legislature, we weren't thrilled with the way PURA is going, is we rewrote the legislation to make it clear of how PURA is supposed to operate as a body of a panel of three or a panel of five, depending on the cases. And so in order for PURA to move forward and do their job, you know, they need those bodies in place. But we did revise the legislation, their structure this year, to make it more clear. So I'm hoping, you know, with the change in the laws that we did this past session and with a fully complemented board, that you'll see some better functionality coming out of PURA.
Both Republicans and Democrats alike at the state capitol have been hearing concerns from residents about their electric bills. But let's say that the governor were to appoint four people to become commissioners, as you've mentioned, as you said that you'd like to see here. Do they get immediately placed onto PURA, or does that take more time because lawmakers don't return to the Capitol for a new session until next year? And I believe that they would have to go through that process.
They do. And I think the way it works, and I'm not 100% positive, but they would sit as interim commissioners if the appointments are made now until we go back into session in the spring, where we would have to have an executive nomination committee hearing and then a vote of the both chambers, the Senate and the House, to appoint those individuals. So I think he can make the interim appointments now while we're out of session, and then we finalize those appointments in the spring. There's also the possibility that if needed, we could go into special session and make those appointments. And I think it's important enough that if we need to do that, we should do that.
Are there any positives about Gillette? There have been so many criticisms of her at her era of PURA. One thing that she had cited in her letter that she was pleased from her time in Connecticut's leadership at PURA is going back to August of 2020, think back to Tropical Storm Isaias, which was largely a windstorm more than anything else, and it knocked power out to a lot of people across the state. And the big criticism was that the utilities were slow to respond, which led to lawmakers passing legislation that basically holds them more accountable in future storms. She cited that as a positive, and I think back 5 years, and that was something that got a lot of attention. Is that a win for her and for Connecticut?
Yeah, I think so. We've tweaked that bill to get it to the right sweet spot. So, you know, we're not adding costs to the electric bills, but we're also making sure that the utility companies are performing. And I think those were definitely a positive move. The other area I think she was good on, and she's a victim of her success, was changing the utility bills so you could actually see your public benefits charge. And by doing that, you could see exactly what is on your bill and what you're being charged for. That sort of created the public outcry, you know, when people started realizing that there were things that they were paying for other than just electricity, like social programs to pay for other people's bills, charging stations, and things like that.
Is there any person whose name has been floated around in your circle who could possibly replace Gillette?
Well, I mean, she's a unique individual, so I don't think she's easily replaced just because of the depth of her knowledge. But on, you know, on the other hand, too, I think that commission has become so toxic that I know individuals don't want to serve on it when they're asked. So, you know, we've got to sort of right side the ship, get the best people that we could get for the job, you know, and move forward. The governor is looking sort of for that perfect unicorn, and I think that's what has stalled out this process. You're never going to find perfection, and I think you need to just you know, lower the standards a little bit to get somebody because...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a learning curve for anyone. And I think there's capable people out there that are talented enough to do the job.
What would you be looking for? What would make your Republican caucus in the House more satisfied with the Pura situation, other than, of course, having the full five commissioners? But as that chair, the person who's leading Pura, yeah, what would you be looking for?
So, I mean, I think generally we're not interested in micromanaging Pura. We don't believe it's a policy-based commission. We believe they're sort of like judges. So typically we've given a lot of deference to the governor to make appointments. He and I have had conversations. I have always floated out the name of Holly Cheesman, who was a legislator that served on the Energy Committee for years. She's very bright and well-read. And I think she'd be a good member of the commission. But I think what we were more concerned about, which we were successful in doing this session, is pulling Pura out from under DEEP. Because right now they are serving, under DEEP and implementing environmental policies as required by law. And I think that is sort of what else has muddied the water for them, because, you know, they're not just looking at rate cases. They're also looking at, you know, electric charging stations and installing solar panels and things of that nature, which we believe belongs in the Department of Environmental Protection, not in Pura. So legislation this year actually decoupled Pura now from DEEP, and it's going to become its own independent agency again. And I think that will certainly help the structure of the agency, because I think that also hurt Marissa Gillette.
Is there any way to make this particular position less political? Now, I know that there are things that become political from this board when talking about electricity and utilities at this particular time, but it seems that this period in particular has become overly political.
Yeah, I think we really have to definitely, try to extricate ourselves a little bit in the legislature. The chairwoman had a very close relationship with the chairs of the Energy Committee, and that sort of was the subject of a lawsuit. I really think we need to, just from a functional backroom sort of process, is treat them a little bit more like judges. But I also think it's just up to the legislature to step away from the podium. You know, many times in the last couple of years, it has been politicized because the electric bills have gotten to be so high. And as I said before, I think people in the legislature made the mistake of putting all the blame on the utility companies, really got their backs up and created a tension between our utility companies and regulators that I haven't seen in my years of being in the legislature. So I think we as the legislature needs to be more mindful of how we interact and how we treat Pura. And that would probably help them, because they really shouldn't be in the news the way they have been.
There was also the talk that State Senator John Fonfara, the Democrat from Hartford and Weathersfield, that he might have been added to that board as well, which appears to be dead.
There was conversation potentially, and this was really in part because the governor didn't fill these vacancies. So I think the legislature was frustrated. We wanted to see them filled. We have a different Rolodex from the governors. And so when the leaders sat down with the governor, you know, as I said, I mentioned Holly's name as a suggestion. Senate Democrat leadership had mentioned John Fanfara, because John was chairman of the Energy Committee for 12 years. People don't realize the depth of his knowledge that he has on all these issues. And it just, again, that got real political. And there were accusations that it was a quid pro quo deal. I tend to think that legislators are really trying to find a solution and break the impasse that the governor had for so long. Those positions have been vacant, like I said, for 6 years. So I'm hoping we can move forward now. I think the governor now appreciates the mess that got created by leaving those positions vacant. And hopefully we'll just see some decent people come forward to be able to serve.
Is there a way to somehow reconfigure PURA? I know that you mentioned that if the governor's not happy, he'd have to submit some kind of a bill or proposal to lawmakers like yourself, your caucus, the Democrats, to approve. Or do you think that it works the way that it's set up now or supposed to be set up now?
Yeah, I mean, I think this session we did some reconfiguring because we definitely saw that it was not working the way it was set up. So I think that job has already been completed, and now it really is a matter of putting those people on PURA and see how it works out. But I do think by pulling it out from under DEEP, by making it clear in the statutes that they serve as panels, they don't serve as one person, those kind of changes, I think, will just help it function better. Some of the stuff that we put in statute, we believed was practice anyway, but all of that, you know, got derailed over the last couple of years. So I think we're in a better position for the way it will function now.
Wrapping up with Republican leader in the state house, Vin Candelora. We've been talking about Marissa Gillette and her resignation announced, and effective October 10th from PURA, the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority. In our final moments here, Representative, I wanted to draw on word that there'd be a special session in the fall, largely to talk about federal funding cuts and how they've impacted Connecticut and some other issues, too. There was word that it might happen in September. Well, September's done. What's your idea on this? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, I think it probably will. I think it will happen in October. The Democrats want to grab the volatility money from 2025. So we have about $675 million of money that's supposed to pour into our pensions to pay down the unfunded liabilities. I think they want to set that money aside in case there's further federal cuts that they could supplant those. And so if we don't go in, I think that money has to be transferred to the pension no later than December 31st. So I think ultimately we will be in before then. I think probably the end of October.
And as far as that special session is concerned, is the treasurer able to reappropriate money from the pension fund to make an investment in the WNBA Connecticut Sun, or does that have to get approval from lawmakers?
Yeah, I think it's pointed out a problem that we have in our treasurer's office. Institutionally, every state in the country has an advisory board that sort of does the pension investing. Connecticut is the only state in the entire union that puts all of that power in one individual. That's our state treasurer. And the problem is that's being pointed out right now is if he chooses, he could invest in the Connecticut Sun using pension dollars. It would be an unprecedented move for a pension fund to be investing in a particularized commercial corporation. Typically, investments are made, you know, as a portfolio across the board. So this is a very unprecedented move that's being made. And what would shock people is that it could be done without input from the unions, without input from state retirees, without input from the legislature. So we've not only pushed back on that proposal, we think that we should be changing our law to come in line with the other 50 states to say, enough, we need an advisory board. While Eric Russell's done a great job in this last year on providing returns, we haven't had a very good track record. We have been at the bottom of pension investments over the last couple of decades. And I think in part because we aren't using the talent that we have in Fairfield County in particular to be on an investment board to tell us how to invest this money.
If the pension fund was to be used in that way, would money that the state makes be put back into pensions?
So it would. I believe that if there's any return on that dollar, it would stay in the pension fund. What I don't have a clear answer on it is the Connecticut Sun basketball investment part of economic development, or is it actually focused on a return on investment?
All right. I thank you for your time. That is State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora with us on Face Connecticut. A number of issues to talk about. We only got to a few of them, so we'll have to talk again sometime soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.